are so thankful that we are together again, Lord, and you've kept us healthy and you kept us from the craziness of the world all week, Lord. Sometimes we don't count those large enough things, Lord. And we thank you for all that you've shown us in the Word, Lord. And we look to you this morning to open our eyes a little bit more. Lord, let us take another step a little bit higher. Lord, recognizing the hour that we're living and the word that is ours for this hour. Lord, let us not be hesitant. Lord, let us be diligent and grab it and hold on to it, Lord, as you make it real. And Lord, we're depending on you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I forgot to mention, and we forgot to put up to remember Sister Inez. She's kind of weak and shaky this morning, so just keep her in prayer. And she's 104, and I went over there one day, and years ago I'd come home from work, and I'd see her, and she was making laps around the yard. I'd be walking real fast, going around the yard and around, all around. She'd be going back because she hadn't had enough exercise, she said. And so I found out not too long ago that she was still doing it with her walker in the house. And so she come from that age where you don't quit. You know, you don't stop. She come through the depression and her and Brother TB and the things you come through. You know, they shape you and change you, you know, how you faced them, you know, and how the Lord brought you through them and what you know he can do for you. It changes you. It changes the rest of your life. It changes you. And, but just remember her. And let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be mostly in the perfect faith message again. I did pull in a few other things that I had ran across and things that kind of stood out to me, because this work that he's doing now in the bride in this day, he spoke about it. He spoke about it in more than one way. And this quote, I had mentioned this quote a bunch of times, and I thought I'd go get it and read it because the way he points out the bride here. This is from Questions and Answers on Hebrews message back in 1957. Let's just start down here where it says, "And when Jesus returns, he comes with the bride." When Jesus returns, now that's what Brother Bram talked, he's referring to the third coming of Christ when he says that. So Jesus, when he returns, he comes with the bride. Jesus comes three times. Notice that. Who come three times? Jesus comes three times. So all three of these times, no matter how he describes these three times, they're all three Jesus coming. They're all three Christ coming. Don't forget that. He comes with his bride. Jesus comes three times. He comes the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. Remember, he said he couldn't get them back there because he had to redeem them. So he comes the first time to pay the price. And then when he comes the second time, he comes to get what he paid for. He comes the second time to receive his church. And every time he's coming, it's something he's doing through man. Because Christ is anointed one. To receive his church, he comes the third time with his church. So remember what he said up here a while ago? He said, when Jesus returns, he comes with the bride. So here he's talking about the third time he comes with his church. See, it's exactly. So it's all one great coming. So even though it's happening in three different stages, it's all the same coming. Because it's Christ that's coming. So it's all one great perfect coming, It's all one great, perfect God. All three comings. When he comes with his bride, that's God coming. One great, perfect church. One great, perfect redemption. Everything. It comes a Trinity, but it's all in one. See, it's not three people, not three this. It's just one person. One church. Remember what we said when Brother Branham said that God presents Christ with the chaste virgin bride so that he can reproduce himself. And it's what he's talking about. It's the one person, God, reproducing himself. One church, one body, one Christ, one Lord in you all, through you all, and so forth, like that. All one. So let's drop back into perfect faith. And I dropped back a little bit to get some of the quotes we got at the end because of I wanted to reiterate something before we got started this morning, or before we get going into the rest of it. Now remember, they had the word. He's talking about the disciples. They had the word. The word was flesh then. So when he said they had the word, he's talking about Jesus Christ was there. He's walking around with them. He's telling them, this is the word. This is the truth. Nothing come out of his mouth. No action he made wasn't the word. The word was there. And that was the first coming. He's coming to pay for her. Brother Bram said he was not behind the word. He was the word. And if he was the word in the first coming, he has to be the word in the second coming. And he has to be the word in the third coming. Because it's all him coming. And the word told them, I give you power. The word told them. He come out of his mouth and he told them. Not only did he tell them, but he told Judas the same thing. Amen. I give you power. And they have power. But they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. So they'd been given this, but they couldn't make it work. And that's what he's talking about all along here in perfect faith, is what makes it work. What makes the word work? See what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the word. He had faith that what he said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here. How long will I serve you? He had faith with his power. And where did he say that faith come from? He said, it's not me that doeth the works, but Christ, the God that dwelleth in me that does the works. And if you go read that message sometimes, works is faith expressed. That'll make a lot of sense. Why he relied? Why? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? Why can he do nothing in himself? Now he's still talking about what he was talking about a while ago with the disciples. The disciples couldn't make this work. They couldn't. They had power, but they couldn't make it work. And he says, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. And he was some, what was he? He was God expressing himself. So Jesus relied on the fact that God was doing it. And that's where his faith come from. Amen. That he wasn't doing it. That he was completely confident that God was doing it. And in order for that to take place, for you to be completely confident that God's doing it, he has to show you that he is doing it. If that isn't, you know, we all say that saying, we've said it for years, and everybody, I've heard it come out of just about everybody's mouth before, that Jesus Christ personally revealed to you is the new birth. If that's not Jesus Christ personally revealed to you, I don't know what is. When he tells you who you are, when he tells you, this is what I made you. And what did Brother Branham say when he said he was born again? He said, when I realized I was not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Amen. He realized who the son he was. He was God's son. See? And he couldn't realize that without God telling him, you're my son. And when he realized he was his son, and anybody who realizes that you're a child of God, it changes your life. Everything's different after that. Like Brother Branham said, you're walking in this other world and people don't understand you. Why aren't you afraid of this world? Why aren't you afraid of people? Why aren't you, you know, because everybody's afraid of people. I don't care how powerful you are. You, the most powerful man in the world is afraid of somebody. I guarantee Biden's watching this one and that one, for the Secret Service is watching this one and that one. And I guarantee you Putin has trusted men he's got around him, because I guarantee there's people vying to take him out all the time. So they're always fearing somebody, because their kingdom is here and it's on all these things, and it's on hanging on to what they can hang on to. It's not about God and his kingdom. He relied upon what he was. He relied on knowing that he was the Word. Just think, that little simple thing. Knowing that he is the Word made manifest is what brought all this forth. All the actions, the words that come out of his mouth when he told them, destroy this temple, I'll raise it back up in 3 days. That came directly from knowing who he was. It produced that. The words that were wrote about him all through the prophets and those different things, he knew he was those words. He knew it, and because he knew it, they came forth in him. God brought them forth in him. I tell you, what does that say? That was the first coming. And we saw the second coming. We saw it. Walking around in shoe leather. God doing what he wanted to. And a man born of sin. Born in sin. Changed it. Changed the scene. What about the third one? He was God. The Word. And they was in him, and he gave, and that gave him faith, because he understood his position. He understood that I am the written Word walking around here, and I understand that God is going to take place here. How humbling that ought to be, to know that God, for some reason, decided to pick you and I and all of the children, his children that are here nowadays, to see this message and for it to take place in them. How humbling that should be. How that ought to direct our days. How that directs our actions to people, our words we speak, everything. It directs everything. He understood his position. He knowed what he was. Because the scripture had said he was this. That scripture wasn't just a book to him. It was living in him. And here every scripture tied in. And here, there, in that man was every scripture tying in and being made known. To prove that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew what he was. Now, he's not talking about that just so he can talk about that. He's talking about that so he can talk about God in every day. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. Can you reply? Can we rely on what God has made us this morning? What God has done. Can we not rely on God? That's the simple question. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. We can rely on that. That's wrote about us. If you are a son of God, the signs will follow you. There's no doubt about it. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. Now, what that doesn't do is what a lot of people think it does. Somehow or another, Satan, he works this thing out where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now all of a sudden they got this burden because they feel like they believe that somehow or another they need to start having signs show up, and they get all worried about it and they start trying to make it happen. And oh, it's real subtle. Satan's real subtle about it, but it's still there. All worried. Oh, I don't have enough faith. I don't have this. And what does the scripture say? The scripture says, don't take thought what you're going to say. If you don't take thought to what you're going to say, then why you got to worry about that? Brother Branham said, sheep don't have to worry about making wool. It just is a sheep, and it makes wool. And that's what a Christian is. A Christian, just a Christian. And it's going to make the word for this hour live. That's what's going to happen. God's going to do it in it. These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. See, look how he twisted that. He turned that, not twisted. He turned that around. If you are a believer, you got faith in what you are. Because that's what makes you a believer. You have faith that the word that's written for this day, you're that word. Remember we said a while ago that you your new birth was the Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. When Jesus Christ is the word. And so when the word is revealed to you, it becomes substance in you. And that's what makes you a believer. You are a believer. And if you've got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, see, the only way your heart will not condemn you is if God has took the condemnation away. There's no other way to remove it yourself. You always know that it's there. Unless God takes it, it's not taken. And if it's not taken, we're not there as that believer. We can convince ourselves we are, but we're not. When we have faith, we have confidence towards God. If you want to read that, found in St. John 3:21, I got the scripture written down there. Notice John 3:21, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But as long as you're doing things that's wrong, you can't have confidence towards God. See, because something's got to make those works that are happening in your life. And if the works happening in your life are wrong, it's not God doing it. Because God don't run a shoddy house. He don't sometimes do the right thing and not do the right thing other times. You'll automatically know that you're wrong. You'll automatically put yourself back there as a sinner by knowing that you're wrong. But when your heart don't condemn you and you know you are a believer and there's nothing between you and God, you can ask what you will and know that it'll be given. How can you know that? Because if you are those three things that he mentioned, you know you're a believer, your heart don't condemn you, and there's nothing between you and God, then you are the word. And the things that you have need of, God has need of. So you don't have to apply our mental thinking to that and our ideas to that. He'll let you know you can ask what you will and know that it'll be given, because it's the word that's given to you, just like it was to the disciples. How did the disciples give it to him? How did the disciples get the word? The word made flesh was there and told them, I give you power. And then what is he saying about now in our day? Because it's the word that's given to you. See, this is why you can ask these things. This is why there's nothing between you and God. There's why there's no condemnation. It's because the word that's given to you, just like it was given to the disciples back there. Wow. Sometimes he says the simplest things, but when you start looking at them and they start like breaking apart into other things, it just is astounding what he said and put in there. Hid from the world. The world... They're so far from that, they'll have 20 ideas out of one paragraph. Now, the only thing you have to do then is have faith. And so would you and I if we weren't given it by God. Have to do then is have faith in what you are. Have faith in what you are. And if you know what you are, it's automatic. You got faith. If that isn't, I wrote this down, if that isn't Jesus Christ personally revealed to you in this day, I don't know what would be. Have faith in what you are. Because if he reveals to you who you know who you are. And Jesus had faith in the word of God that said what he was. That's what happened in the first coming. Remember, every time we read these things about Jesus, that's the first coming. We know that. And Brother Ram said he can't do something one time and then not do it again the next time. If he comes a second time, the same word has to apply. He's not the Messiah like he was the first time, but this word that come to today was the Messiah to us in this hour. And what did Brother Branham say? We become, when the word becomes part of us, we become Messiahs. Y'all don't know how many times I stop myself from screaming up here sometimes. And then it just comes out as tears after that. But it really strikes home sometimes. More so when I get here, it seems like, than even when I'm studying it sometimes. And Jesus had faith in the word of God that said what he was. The word told him what he was. It is written of me. Didn't David in Psalms and the prophets and all them speak of him? I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. Remember what we read way back there where it said they couldn't partake of the tree until it become flesh? Here it is. Here's the tree has become flesh. I am that tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I am these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah. That the Spirit of God was upon him. Because he was the Word, he knew the Spirit was going to be upon the Word. He said, now I in myself do nothing, but it's my faith in God. And God was in him, the Word made manifest. And when the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest, for you are a believer. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. It's made manifest, for you are a believer. It manifests a believer. That's what I was trying to say a while ago. See, and a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. See what he defined a believer for us there. It's the faith of God moving in you. That's what a believer is. So many people talk about being a believer, but don't have the faith of God moving in them. It should make us so thankful for what we have. You like that? I like teaching of where what faith really is. Knowing who he was without a shadow of a doubt. He knew he was the Son of God. You see where these things come from? All faith, all works that are expressed. And when you say works, that means living right by the word. It means the healings that take place. It means God putting the money in the fish's mouth. It means all these things. That's God's works coming out. The word of God, he knew it, for the word identified. The word of God identified who he was. And it'll identify who you are too. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I don't do them works, don't believe me. But if I do, then believe the works, for they are the manifested word promised. These things that he walked around doing, talking to the woman at the well, going into there and beating the money changers, cursing the tree, dying on the cross, all these things, they were wrote of him and now they were taking place. You see, the word itself identified him, who he was. And he said, who can condemn me of sin? Look at this definition of sin. Who can condemn me of sin? In other words, who can show me that my life and works don't fulfill exactly what Messiah should do? Who can do that? Now, what about the bride in this day? Can she make the same claim? Who can show me where my life doesn't manifest the word this day? That's what the bride is going to have, that testimony. She should already have it. Who can show me that my life and my works don't fulfill exactly what Messiah should do? And he done said where those works came from, that he wasn't doing it. Nobody could say nothing, for he was. Then he had faith to believe then of whatever he said, it would happen. Then he turned around and said, the works that I do shall you also. And if you're going to do the same works he did, they're going to have to come the same way, because he said how they came, and they can't come a different way. When they come again, they got to come the same way. And we just read how those works came. It was him, his Father, in him doing it. The works that I do shall you also. A little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet you shall, because it'll be with you, even in you. Take no thought to what you shall say, for it's not you that speak. That's why Father that dwelleth in you, it's thy Father that dwelleth in you. He's the one who does the speaking. I remember Brother Branham talked about that wild man that come up on the stage and was threatening to kill him. Brother Branham, do you know what Brother Branham's testimony was? They said, was you afraid? He said, no. And he wasn't being a braggart. He wasn't talking about, I'm going to whip out my, you know, my golden glove fist and beat him up. He wasn't talking about that. He said why he wasn't afraid is that he knew he was where he was supposed to be. Exactly where he was supposed to be. He knew it. And so he wasn't afraid at all. And the man was two or three times bigger than him, come rushing up to him. And Brother Branham said he didn't think, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? He just said, I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And he said he heard the words coming out of his mouth, told him Satan come out of him, and he fell at his feet. You talk about trusting God. You see what he was doing. He knew he was where he was supposed to be. Think about those three Hebrew children. They knew they were standing on the truth, and they wasn't going to back off the truth. And God saw it. Brother Bram said it got God's attention in heaven. The angels were coming to him. He gave that little scenario, you know. Standing for God's word, it gets his attention. Don't ever think he don't see it. I remember it was a testimony in that book. What's the name of that book? I keep forgetting. The Generations book. Where one of the, it was Billy's wife's friend or something.
Becky's friend.
And Brother Branham was talking to her one day, and she said, he said, you know why God let you win that cooking contest?
Sewing contest.
And she said, no. He said, well, you remember here a while back when all the girls were getting their pictures took and they were pushing their sleeves off their shoulders to get their pictures took? And he said, and you wouldn't do it? He said, God saw it. And he don't miss nothing. He's the one who does the speaking. And it's not me. It's the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See what I mean? Now, the identification of a scripture Christian, these words Jesus said. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now you can, how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny these words? See, Brother Branham said that so many times, that you say you believe and you say you believe the Bible, but then you deny it and won't do it. It's not possible. That's why he said it. It's because it's not possible. How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? See, you can't do it. You're not a believer. Therefore, signs can't follow because you just accept what you want to believe and let the rest of it, you won't, don't believe it. Now he wasn't talking about just healings and things like that. He's talking about a believer. And the believer is the manifestation of the word for the hour. And they're taking part of it, and they won't take the rest of it. But you got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs follow them that believe. Because God's doing it. And so the signs are going to happen because he's bringing it to pass in you. As a believer, he's bringing that believer to pass. And so all the works will follow. Oh, could you compare a Christian today with the Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit, do it. Just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Are we ready for that? Is the bride, is the people in this day, are they ready for that? In the worst independent age, the worst thing that's ever hit this earth, Brother Branham said Laodicea means people's rights. And I've never seen, that's why we got all this mess we got. Everybody has, they call it, they don't think there's one truth anymore. There's not just one truth. There's your truth. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. And that's Satan's religion if I've ever heard it. There's, you got your truth, and you got your truth, and you got your truth. And you see what it produces now. The mess that don't even know how many genders they say. We got like 15 genders now and all this other stupidity. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going back. It's got to come. That's right. It's on its road now, I believe. For the word identified himself what he was, and the same word identifies us. The same word. He was all the word, right? He was the fullness of God made manifest. That's the same word that identifies us. See, if a man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, that's all of them, he's a liar. And truth's not even in him. You say, well, I don't believe all. Well, then, you're just an unbeliever, that's all. If the Bible said so, that makes it right. That settles it eternally. What the Bible said is the truth. If the Bible says, it settles it eternally. Where does it get settled at? In the heart of men. That's where it settles, right there. What the Bible said is the truth. Notice where he said to us, if ye abide in me and my word in you, St. John 15, if ye abide in me, see, have faith in him. He's interpreting the scripture there for you. He's telling you what that's saying. If you abide in him, you have faith in him. So you're not, I looked up that word abide. Hang on a second. I'm going to read you the definition. See, have faith in him. You abide in me, and my word abides in you, then ask what you will. Abide means to continue without fading. And if you look up the old English word, it means to stay on or be. They call it being or I can't remember the other words. There's so many synonyms, but you go ahead and look it up. But I just thought that one particular one there, continue without fading. So it's there and it don't get dim. It stays there because it's God, and God don't get old. He never fades. And I pulled this quote here because it kind of reminded me of something there. This is from Perseverance. But how it must have been when Miss Noah and her daughter-in-laws and sons and so forth, when they seen this water coming up on the ark, and yet the ark was still setting flat. The water just keeps coming up the side of the ark, and it's still sitting there. It ain't lifted up yet. But after a while, they felt it cut loose. They just kept abiding. They didn't go anywhere. They were prisoners of Christ. She was floating. Oh, Noah knew that all his, what he had tried to achieve, what he had done, his message was paying off then. Took him a long time to see that message start to pay off. But then it started to pay off. They felt themselves cut loose from the earth, floating in God's salvation. That was God's salvation, that boat was. It was their salvation for them. It was cut loose. He was leaving the earth, like it is when a man will stay, not come up and shake hands. See, stay. Abide without fading. Like it is when a man will stay, not come up and shake hands with the pastors, put his name on the book, but when he'll stay there until he feels something cut loose inside of him, and he begins to float out yonder by faith, knowing that his sins are past. They're gone. And he's anchored his soul in Christ. And there is something raising him higher and higher, persistent and perseverant. Wow. I don't know how, if you're down a little bit, you couldn't pick this message up and after a while be up. It's just too good. There's just too much in there. You see, he knew who he was. Now we're going back into perfect faith, talking about Christ. He knew who he was. Therefore, he had faith. Because he knew who he was, that's why he had faith. Faith could produce when he knowed what he was. See what made faith produce? Because he knew who he was. Now, if you abide in me and my word in you, so if he knew that, and his word abides in you, and you abide in him, then you ask what you will. He's the vine, and we're the branches. It'll be given to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everybody come up in that prayer line and say, I'm a Christian, I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemned me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my suffering. That you're going to do. You'll go away from here something, with something. No matter how much you come in emotion and how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. Now, what he's saying there is just what he's been saying all along. He just said it a little different. It is you knowing who you are. Not guessing at who you are. Guessing at who you are will just make misery for your whole life. Perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. And when it's there, then nothing's going to shake you from it. And I ran across this quote the other night, and I thought it went good here. It was just really good. Nervousness is an awful thing. He's in the prayer line at the end of the service. Hurts. Nervousness hurts. Causes all kinds of troubles and everything. But God can heal nervousness. You believe that? He's talking to this young man in the prayer line. You believe that? You're a deep thinker, son. You're one of those types of people that crossing bridges before you get to them, taking other things, never happens the way you think it out anyhow. And if you listen to him on the tape, Brother Branham's consoling him. He's telling him it never comes that way anyway. So it's like he's telling him, so you don't need to do that, son. You've always wanted a place to set your foot so you could start. You've longed to find that place. That's right. You're on that ground right now, son. Think about that. Think about if you're that boy and he struggled with all he struggled with all this time, and he got here somehow and got in this line, and he got up here and this man just told you your whole life story and then told you what you've been longing for and told you what you've been longing for is here right now. You're standing on that ground right now, son. That's the way the word is to the believer. You're on that ground right now, son. You never want to come up to manhood, a neurotic and weary and upside down. You're too nice a young man to do that. And on the tape, he pauses. The shadow now hung over you a few minutes ago has left you. I don't know what's happened, but it's gone from you. Your faith has taken it away now. You're free from your trouble now. You know that something's happened, don't you? If that's right, raise up your hand. Dark shadow that hung over the young man. His faith did it even without prayer. God bless you, sir. Wonderful thing. I just kind of felt like that was God breaking things open a little bit, because he's getting there. That's where he's going with the message. And it's like Enoch back there. Enoch walked with God 500 years and did exactly what he said. And I always wondered, how is that possible? It's just God writing his Bible and foreshadowing what's going to happen. If you had cancer and the doctor, and we're back in perfect faith, and the doctor told you yesterday that you'd be dead before Monday morning. All your heart, your respiration's gone, your cancers eat you up, your bloodstreams become completely cancer, whatever it is. And something come with this substance of genuine faith, perfect faith, was made a substance in you. You'd laugh in the doctor's face. You'd be like old Elijah when he walked up and down before the idol and said, won't you call a little louder? Now, I want to stop right there just a second. I don't want you to miss what he's doing. He's identifying to you what this faith is going to be like. He's setting up your expectations. He's telling you what to expect. And when he tells you what to expect, he's giving you the word. This is what God is like. This is what God does. And then once you know what God is and you know what the truth is, and then God starts to anoint that, you start to expect that. That's what you want. Somehow or another, God puts that desire in you for that to be. And so when that starts to take place, he starts to bring it to pass. Brother Ram talks about that thirst. You know, some people will fill that thirst with everything under the sun, but others, they'll go and they'll be fed and they'll get their thirst quenched. So what Brother Ram's doing here is when he's taking this and he's telling you, when it's made substance in you, you'd laugh in the doctor's face. That's how sure it's going to be to you when you know, when this comes. He's teaching you what to expect. Don't expect anything less than this, is what he's telling us. Don't expect it to be less than this. It's this sure. You'd laugh in that doctor's face. You'd be like old Elijah when he walked up and down before the idol and said, why don't you call a little louder? Maybe he's pursuing. You know, he knowed what he was going to do because God had told him what was going to happen. He said, let the God that answers by fire be God. Oh, watch. When he got everything ready, he walked out there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. He never called him now his name Jacob, Shyster. He called him Israel, Prince with God. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of that Prince Jacob, let it be known today that I am your servant. And I have done this not at my desire, not at my makeup. It's not because of how I'm born and made. It's not because this is what I'm trying to desire and dream up and make happen. But I did this at your command. But at your command, I have did this. Your will, you told me what to do. You showed me these things would be here. Now I've poured the water upon the altar. I've done all these things according to your command. Now let it be known. Talk about the position, getting in the position. You've done everything that you're supposed to do. You're in the position. And when he said that, fire fell from the heavens. He was just as confident it was going to fall because he had the substance. Why? The word said so. Now, the same Bible is the same God's word. This same Bible. The one that told Abraham, the one that told Elijah to go do this. The Bible is the same word, he's saying. In other words, if Elijah can take it like he took it when God told him something, then why can't we take it when it tells us something? We should be able to take it when he tells us something. Now, this same Bible is the same God's word. And when you can receive the substance, receive it in substance. Remember, I've said a bunch of times that people tell me that God loves me, but when God tells you, he loves you. When he shows you you're his son, that's far beyond anybody ever saying it to you. But somebody saying it to you is what might be what puts it in your heart and makes you start to think about it. It's what made that little sister at the well think about that scripture. I don't know how often she thought about it, but it was there. It was right there. Because as soon as she saw it, God showed her this is what that scripture means. Substance can receive the substance. That's perfect faith. Substance that this promise that God made is yours. See, there's the substance. Not just the word you read, but when God shows you that word is yours for now, for when you need it, for when he needs it. See, then it's yours. That substance, when the word becomes yours personally. How do you feel, Brother Branham, when you stand there and you see people coming in different languages and things? Are you afraid? No, sir. No, sir. He said so. Never been afraid yet. Because he told me so. And I believe that's his truth. That night, when that little boy in Finland, that day rather, laying there dead, been laying there for a half hour, mashed up, blood running out of his eyes and nose and ears, little legs broke up, his little stockings. Could you imagine? The car ran over the little fella. And his feet out through the end of his stockings, his shoes gone. I looked and I thought, that ought to be that boy. I said, say, let's look in the book in the back of that Bible, Brother Moore. Got Brother Lindsay, Brother Moore, look back there, and it shall come to pass, saith the Lord, oh my, there will be a land where there's a lot of evergreen growing. Rocks will be lapped together. A little boy with a cropped haircut, little panty waist buttoned up here, and his feet, his stockings pulled up high, He'll have brown eyes and they'll be turned back. He'll be killed in an automobile accident. But you lay your hands upon him and he'll come back to life. There it was, wrote on there. And there he laid. God's a healer. And God showed him, Brother Branham, where he was going to heal somebody. And then Brother Branham come on the place where he was going to be healed. Just waiting the word. There he laid, amen. Just waiting the word. Been laying there for a half an hour. Just waiting the word. I said, if this boy isn't alive in a couple minutes from now. Now he's still trying to show you how sure this is. There's no guessing. He's trying to get people to quit guessing. And in the first of the message, he said, we're getting mature enough. It's time to rub out some of these things, he said. And now he's showing you just how sure it is. And he's not putting this just as a prophet. He's telling you Christ had it. And if you got Christ, you have it. Run me out of Finland. If this boy isn't alive in a couple minutes from now, then I'm a false prophet. Run me out of Finland. And if he is alive, fall on your faces and repent. And I said, death, you can't hold him. I called for his spirit according to the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And up he jumped. This little fella was broke up. His legs was broke up in his socks. And he jumped up. Been laying there half an hour. Up he jumped. Right, see, oh my. Faith, see, took a hold. God said so. There it was. There it is. Now that's God speaking in this day through vision. That's God speaking. See? And later on in the message, we won't get to it today. We'll probably get to it next Sunday. He talks about that faith sees what God sees. But this, if that's not what a vision is, you know, but there's other, you can see it without a vision. But this, if that vision was contrary to this, that would be wrong. In other words, if the vision about the boy had been contrary to the Bible, it would have been wrong. This is more than the vision. If any vision's contrary to the word, leave it alone. It ain't of God. God don't contradict his own word. So if this word told you something, then you can have the same confidence then that it's going to happen. Now he just told you what it's going to be when the word tells you something. How sure it's going to be. There's nothing. If it says, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Well, brother, if that perfect faith got a hold of that, if the perfect faith got a hold of that word, Brother Bram said the word was there, they had it. He gave them the power, but didn't have faith to operate it. Faith that perfect faith got a hold of that, when you pass by this prayer line, you'd be jumping and shouting when you left here. It's over. It's over. It's all over. It's finished. If you had a request in your heart and believe that when you pray, believe that when that prayer was made for that. It was going to be answered. I just caught that. Did you see what he just said? And believe that when that prayer was made for that, it was going to be answered. You're a believer, right? And why do you believe things? Because God's in you, making you a believer. And believe that that prayer was made for that. It was going to be answered. There is nothing you discuss that's what's going to happen. Like the woman with the blood issue. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it. And it come because he was the Word. Perfect faith come because he was the Word. So what is he telling us about our day? He's preaching a whole message on perfect faith, trying to get perfect faith to us, trying to get it to the bride. And he's telling him it come because he was the Word. So if perfect faith came because he was the Word, then what does the bride have to be in this day? She has to be the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. If you abide in me and my words in you, my words, this word abides in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See, if the word, if Christ is abiding, he'll ask for whatever he needs. See, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Now, that's a fellowship, brother and sister. That's God fellowshipping with his thoughts made manifest. Now, watch. Now, and he said to us, if ye abide in me and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask. And he keeps revisiting that over and over about the word abiding in you. Not just in you today and gone tomorrow. My word in you, John, St. John here, if you ask what you will, it'll be done. Then recognize your position in the scripture. Isn't that what he said Jesus recognized? His position? Now he's telling you to recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position. When you recognize your position, then God will anoint it. And it's going to take place. Because you can't recognize your position in the scripture and not be the word. And God's going to anoint that. And as he recognized his position, you recognize yours like he recognized his. See, it's all one great coming. Is not it written that Christ shall come? And what all Christ would do? He said to Cleopas and them that morning, isn't it written in the scriptures that they'll have that he must suffer and then be killed and raised the third day? Said, why are you so slow of understanding? And they thought, my, this man speaks a little different from other men. Now, you think he's talking about today? He's talking about the ministry? He was talking about the ministry right there. Come to find out, when they got in the inn, it was him. See, their eyes were withholding from him. See, they knowed that he kept laying to the scripture. And they knowed it was him. See, afterwards. They'd been with him. Brother Bram said it took like, I think he said 6 hours to walk back. That's how long they talked and didn't know who he was. Their hearts burned within them and they still didn't know who he was. And I can take you to at least one quote where Brother Branham said, years from now, you'll realize that these quotes, I mean, that what's been said has been happening or something. I'd have to go get you the quote. Y'all probably know which one I'm talking about. I'll bring it next time. But it's the ministry of Christ. All three times. It's always the ministry of Christ. It's his coming. See, their eyes were withholding from him. See, they knowed that he kept laying to that scripture and they knowed it was him. They knowed it was him. But afterwards, you must believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. Recognize that these things are for you. If there's condemnation in your life, straighten that first. See, if you got condemnation, or you might have Oral Roberts and a dozen more people who has faith to come here and pray over you and jump up and down and pour on you by the gallons and it still don't move. That's right. you was prayed for by such and such a man. See, like that. But here it is. Here's your trouble. And he's talking about the prayer lines. He runs into that. Here's your trouble. See, go make that right. Go out there and confess that sin to your husband, to your wife. Go do this thing. It'll never do you any good, no matter who you pray for, till you make that right. Got to get in that position. Condemnation's in your heart. And God will not come into that heart condemned. He won't come. It has to be uncondemned before he'll come into it. God don't dwell in that. You got to make it right. Then when you do, you must have faith. If everything's right, you must have faith and believe it. Don't be afraid. In the book of Job, it says, Job feared. And what he feared, it actually happened. So what you believe, Brother Branham's telling us, as a believer, happens. And what he feared happened to him. And what he feared, it actually happened. What brought it? What brought the things to Job? His fear. That's what made it happen. His faith would have kept him from it, but his fear brought it to him. He was scared. So the fear brought it to him, and God made him face that fear and took him all the way through that fear to the other side to show him what he really was, see? To remove the fear. God's not going to miss one of his. He was scared it was going to happen, and it did happen. If he knowed it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't happen. See what I mean? If you're afraid when you come by the prayer line, maybe I just haven't got the faith sufficient, it'll never happen. Don't worry, see? But if you know it's going to happen, it'll happen. See, it's a substance of something. Job had a fear that these things would come upon him, and they did. If you have a fear that your disease is going, won't leave you, it won't. If you have faith that it will. So he's showing you the difference there. It's going to leave. When you have faith, it's going to leave. He was doing all right till he got scared. Now, I don't want you to miss that every one of these examples, none of them are making this happen themselves. The scripture says the bride has made herself ready. What did he say making herself ready was this morning? You get in position. You line up with that word. As God showed you the word, you line up with the word. And then you don't have to worry. When you have needs, he'll meet your needs. He said he would. If you're a believer, then you believe that. The word told him he would walk on the water. This is talking about Peter. Peter was doing all right till he got scared. The word told him he could walk on the water. So he didn't start reasoning it out and thinking it out. He just heard from the word and went. He was scared first. He thought it was a ghost. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. He said, come on. The word told him, come on. See that? The word told him. He didn't do it on his own. The word told him to come. Now, that's just the same as James 5:14, the same as Mark 16. You know, those are scriptures about being healed. And he's saying when Jesus said to Peter, come on, that those scriptures are the same thing. They're saying, come on, take it. The same God said it, said, come on. And so he started walking. He done all right, got down out of the ship, started walking. There was a storm on the sea, you know, great white cap waves, bigger than these hills around here. The foam breaking on top of them. Terrific. Maybe 15, 20 feet foam. The white caps breaking. And that was a terrific thing for him to ask. If it be you, Lord, there looked like a shadow or a spirit. And he said, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, Come on. And I'm here to tell you this morning that this message is one big come on. And he's just talking to God's people. And they're going to hear it. But it's screaming loud. Come on. Every last bit of the word for this day, he's saying, come on. Come. It's a whosoever will. But I thought I was going to get done with it maybe the next time, but I think there's at least two more on after this. But Brother Goomba is off on Wednesday, so we're going to hear from Brother Goomba Wednesday. So be praying for Brother Goomba and praying for him that he don't have to rush in like they done to him the last time. And I know that can make you nervous and things. So just be praying for him and be praying for him that they'll get this Sunday thing worked out for him too, so he's not having to deal with that. You love him?
Amen.
I tell you, if there's ever been a statement, love him more every day, that's true in the life of a Christian. Man, let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so glad, Lord, how you make the word so real to us. I remember sometimes when Brother Branham would say that he was trying to bring the people into the presence of the Lord. Lord, your word to your children does that every time. Brings us into your presence. The scripture even says, two or three that are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, we believe those words. Not because it was our will to do it or anything else, Lord, but because you saw something and made a way for us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you made a way. And Father, we pray that you'll make us able to find those out there that are still wondering, Lord, and haven't found this way, but you've got a way for them. Lord, let your men that are out there on that field find them, Lord. Bring them in. We know that the hour's late and it's close. And Lord, we're just gathering up closer to you, pulling up the covers around us, the covers of the word, not our own covering. And Lord, just settling into that warmth, Lord, of your word. May it just bring out, Lord, everything that you said would happen in this hour. May we be like Brother Branham said Jesus was, like that building with the door open on both ends, and you could just move through us, Lord, and do whatever you will. We know that that's the hour that we're living, and Lord, we expect that to happen. We thank you for that revelation. We ask you to go with us this week and be with us in the families of Sister Vikina and them, Lord. Be with them. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.